Saf Shabbos Daf Kuf Lamed Gimel Amar Mar Basar Afal Pi Shiyeshem Beharis Yimel. So the Brisa learns from the extra word Basar that one can cut off Tsaras in the act of performing Bas Mila. You don't have to worry about the violating the Isser of cutting off Tsaras. So the Gemara says Halamili Krad Davishet Miskavinu. Why do I need a pasuk to tell me that you're allowed to cut off Tsaras when you're doing a Bas Mila? It's a Davishet Miskavin. You have no intention to cut off the Tsaras anyway. So without a pasuk, I should know that it's Mutter. So at first Abaye answers that we must be assuming like Rabbi Yehuda that a Davishet Miskavin is Aser, and that's why I need a pasuk to tell me that it's going to be mutter. But Rabbi Shimon must use Basar to teach something else, that even if you cut off the tzaras on purpose in the act of Mila, that even that's mutter. But ultimately, Abaye really agrees with Rava's answer, that even Rabbi Shimon would need a pasuk over here, because this isn't a typical Davar Shei Miskavin, this is a Pesuk Reishei. And even Rabbi Shimon is moded that by a Pesuk Reishei would be Asur. That's why he needs a pasuk, especially to be Matir, doing a Bris Mila, which involves cutting off a tzaras, a negav tzaras. So the Gemara then has the same conversation between Abaye and Rava with regard to removing tzaras by doing normal activities like tying your shoes, carrying something over your shoulder, where everybody agrees that you need a pasuk to teach that it's mutter to do those things, because otherwise it's a pesuk reisha and it should be usher even according to Rabbi Shimon. Then the Gemara moves on to the next topic, Yom Tov Eina Docha Ela Bizmana Bilvad. You're allowed to do a bris mila that's bizman on Yantif, but you're not allowed to do a mila shalo bizman on Yantif. If it's after the eighth day, you're not allowed to do the mila. So ask the Gemara, Minani Mili, how do I know that a Mila Shalob Zmana is not Docha Yantif? After all, the mitzvah Saseh of Mila should override the Los Saseh of violating Yantif. Asay Docha Los Saseh, so it should be Mutter. So the Gemara gives four answers. First of all, the Gemara says, just like the leftovers of the Korban Pesach, which were shechted on a weekday, are not allowed to be burned on Yantif, but have to wait for Boker Sheni Lisrei Faso, the next morning, which is Chol HaMoed, so to the Mila, which should have been done on a weekday, because it's a Mila Shalob Zmana, it should have been done on a weekday, cannot override Yantif, but you should wait until a weekday morning. Answer number two, just like a carbon of a weekday can't be burnt on Shabbos from the drasha of lo olas chol b'Shabbos, so Mila, which should have been done on a weekday, also can't be done on Yantif, can't override Yantif. Answer number three, when the Torah allows certain malachas on Yantif, it says levado. When it allows malachas ochel nefesh, the word levado comes dafka to teach me that any malacha done in Mila shalob b'zmana is not permitted on Yantif. And the final answer the Gemara gives, Ravashi explains that Yantif, it's not an asei docha los asei situation. Yantif itself involves both an asei and a los asei. Say in asei docha los asei v'asei. The mitzvah of Mila cannot be docha Yantif's dual aspects of asei and los asei. Then the Gemara discusses, Rabbi Kiva says, both in the context of Makshire Mila and in the context of Makshire Pesach, that the rule is that any preparation that could have been done before Shabbos does not override the Shabbos. And in both cases, Rabbi Yudam Rav paskins like Rabbi Akiva. He says, halacha is like Rabbi Akiva. So why do you need to paskin like Rabbi Akiva in both cases? They're obviously very much connected. So now, one might have thought Pesach is different. It's very strict since there's a chi of kares, whereas Mila, on some level, has no chi of kares. And one might have thought that Mila is very strict because nichrasu aleh yud gimel brisos, that there are 13 brisos that we have at HaKadosh Baruch Hu relating to Mila, which Pesach does not have. So that's why I need to be told in each case that the machshirei Mila are not docha, Shabbos in each case, both by Pesach and by Mila. Then we have a mission on the bottom of Amud Aleph, Osen kol tzorchei Mila b'Shabbos. You're allowed to do all three parts of Mila on Shabbos. We're allowed to do the Mila, the Priya, which is the peeling back of the membrane under the foreskin, the Metzitza, drawing the blood out of the wound, and anything, any tzorchei Mila, and it lists off all the bandaging and all the different things you could do. So the Gemara says, well, why then do you have to say kol tzorchei Mila if you're already telling me everything that you're allowed to do? So the Gemara says, must be to teach me that even the Tzitzin she'enon makvin asamila, that you're allowed to do, you can even do cut away those parts of skin that don't affect the validity of the Mila, as long as the mole hasn't stopped the act of Mila, as long as he's still Osek in the Mila itself. The Gemara has three suggestions of who is the Tana that does not allow going back after the Mila is over to cut the Tzitzin She'en HaMakvin HaSamila. And the Gemara's first suggestion is that maybe it's Rabbi Yochanan Baroka, who holds that when you skin a Korban Pesach, you're not allowed to skin it all the way. You can only skin it up until the chest of the Korban Pesach, but not the rest of the way. And the Gemara says, nah, Rabbi Yochanan Baroka maybe would allow cutting more skin for a bris, because it fulfills Zekei Livan Veyu. By the Korban Pesach, there's no point in cutting away more skin. So that's why he does doesn't allow it over there. So second, the Gemara suggests maybe it's Rabbi Yossi who holds that Edim that see the new moon in a month where the moon is very clearly visible and they're fairly confident that a lot of other people saw the new moon are not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to come say the Edus about the new moon because they can rely on the fact that other people are going to see it and come to testify without having to be Mechal Shabbos. So the Gemara says, no, that's because maybe Rabbi Yossi would agree that once you're being Mechal Shabbos anyway to do a bris, that you could be Mechal Shabbos Viter and cut away all the extra pieces of skin. But by the new moon, you're not being Mechal Shabbos. So Rabbi Yossi would say, stay still, don't be Mechal Shabbos. So the two cases are not comparable. So then the Gemara suggests maybe it's the Rabbanan who hold that the word Tamid in the context of the Lechem Apanim means that the bread has to be on the Shulchan constantly without any break. That one, this week's breads literally push off the table, the Shulchan, the last week's bread. That there's never a single moment where the Shulchan is left empty. So here too, if there's any break in the Milah, if there's a moment where the Milah stops, then the act is considered over and you can't go back to cut the extra pieces of skin. The Gemara teaches if a Moel starts to do a Milah at the end of Shabbos, but doesn't have enough time to finish the bris on Shabbos, he's chayv kares for cutting the person in violation of Shabbos, since in the end he didn't do the mitzvah on Shabbos, so it was just stam, a violation of Shabbos, if they warned him in advance that, yeah, you better watch out, because you're not going to have time, and he had the confidence that he was going to have time. And then at the very end of the daf, we talk about mitzitza. The Mishnah said that we draw blood from the wound. Rav Papa says that a moel who doesn't do mitzitza should be fired, because he's putting the baby's life in danger. Mitzitza is necessary for the health of the baby. That's the very reason we're allowed to violate Shabbos by drawing this blood, because we assume that it's for the health of the baby. The baby needs the mitzitza to be done.